Just the most peaceful thing ever. Yep, right away. It's just remarkable how quickly it all goes.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Baby Step, sponsored by Oxford and Soho Baby, a podcast dedicated to exploring the personal and emotional journeys of parenting. I'm your host. My name is Medea. Today I have Beth, Army veteran, inventor of Busy Baby, and mother of two. Beth, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So we're going to start with something called the Fast Five, where I ask you five questions back to back and you answer with the first thing that comes to your head.
Oh boy, fire away.
All right, ready? Biggest pregnancy craving.
Oh, McDonald's, for sure.
That's a good one. Some people say fruit or some people say healthy things, and I'm like, I feel like that's just not a craving.
No, I wanted McDonald's all the time. Double cheeseburger, extra pickles, no onions.
That's a very good order. Very specific. I like it.
Always fresh.
Which is worse? You run out of diapers or you run out of wipes?
Oh my gosh, definitely running out of wipes because I use them for everything, not just wiping the butt. I use them to clean up faces and countertops and everything in the house. It'd be way worse to run out of the wipes.
True. But then if you run out of diapers, what are you doing then?
I mean, then you can grab some shirts and, tie them around their little bottoms or I mean,
Yeah,
people
you
do the
can
cloth
figure it
diaper
out.
thing. You could figure out some version of that.
Yeah, true. One word to describe labor and one word to describe parenthood.
Ooh, that's hard because both of my deliveries were so different, but I guess labor was miraculous. Parenthood is challenging.
Those are good. I like that. Favorite baby product you can't live without?
Busy baby mats all the way.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about that a little bit? So, what is it? How is it helpful?
Yeah, so when I was a new mom with my first son, after I finished my maternity leave and I went back to work, a couple of my stay-at-home mom friends took me out to eat and they brought their one-year-old daughters with them. And the entire meal was spent literally picking things up off the ground because they reach for everything on the table. You give them something to play with. They don't have sometimes the fine motor skills to hang on to things. So it's an innocent drop, but then it really quickly becomes just a game of fetch. Or they don't want something, so they immediately shoot it out of their way. So I went on Amazon and tried to find something to buy that would serve as like a clean place to put baby's food because one of the moms there was a germaphobe and didn't, you can't just put the food on the table because you don't know what they wiped it off with. And, the plates and stuff will just get yeeted on the ground as well. So it needed to be a placemat that you could put their food on, whether it's puffs or just chunks of your meal, whatever. But then I also wanted a way to attach toys to it so that they would not end up on the ground over and over. So there was nothing like that on the market. The next day I had an idea. I started cutting and gluing things together. And then that eventually became the Busy Baby Mat, which suctions down to the high chair or the table. And then it has a tether system that you can use to hook up whatever baby wants to play with. So that was the first invention. And now we have a line of products that are all designed to keep baby's things within reach and off the ground, both at home and on the go. So we have stuff for strollers, wagons, you name it.
Wow, that's a very good product. Because yeah, people or kids are dropping their stuff left and right, their toys, they're not able to keep their food. So how does the food stay on the mat?
The food is just there's a little bit of a tray with a raised lip, which is great for babies, developing the pincher grips. They can pull the food against the edge of the tray. Otherwise, it's just they can still chuck the food on the floor. I mean, if they don't eat it, if they want to throw it on the floor, they still can. We did also develop a bib that has it's an oversized bib and it has like an oversized tray for catching food. And then the bib also has a tether system and utensils that stay connected. So a lot of times babies will like try to put the food in their mouth. It'll fall straight down in front of them. It lands in the bigger tray. And then they like to use their little utensils to eat it right out of the tray. But the best thing is that the utensils never hit the ground. And
Oh,
then when you're
yeah.
done, the tethers and the utensils fit right into the tray and you roll it up and just secure it closed with the neck closure, throw it in the diaper bag. And when you get home, you could throw it in the dishwasher.
Okay, that's a good idea. I like that. The utensils sticking to the thing. 'Cause yeah, if your utensils fall on the ground, you have to wash it, get a new one. That's just
And
so
everything we have,
frustrating.
Everything becomes interchangeable. So you could take the utensils and you can use them on the busy baby mat. But if you're somewhere that doesn't have a smooth surface that like suction cups will stick to, or we've even seen people using the bib like in the shopping cart. You put the bib on them, put some puffs in the tray, and then attach their favorite pacifier. So while you're shopping, they've got their nook available. They can eat snacks out of the tray, keep things attached, and keep them kind of busy while you get your shopping done.
Oh, busy baby.
Keep the baby busy,
Keep the baby
yes.
busy. Wow, that is insane. That is so cool. And
Thank
where can
you.
people buy this?
The best place to buy it is on our website, busybaby.com. You can also get it on Amazon, but Amazon takes like 40% of every order. So rather have people come to our website. And then there's also, we've just recently gotten into Walmart and Target. We're not in all of them, just a small number of test stores, but you can buy it on walmart.com and target.com as well.
Very, very cool. And then the last question, most unexpected joy of motherhood.
Oh, watching the milestone achievements. So my boys are 5 and 8. And the 5-year-old's just starting to learn to read, and the 8-year-old is reading, and like that magical moment when he's reading things, and now he's teaching his brother and watching them interact together. Like it's just hitting milestones and then watching them, like watching the big one help the little one hit milestones. It's just remarkable how quickly it all goes and the amazing things that they learn and how smart they are when they're so little.
Yeah, that's so precious because at one point they know nothing, and then one week goes by, another week goes by, and before you know it, they're speaking English.
And mine are 5 and 8 now, so I'm out of the baby stage. But even when they were in the baby stage, it's like I would go on a trip for work. So with Busy Baby, I would travel to pregnancy expos around the country, and I would only be gone for a couple days. And when I would come back, I would swear that baby was more advanced than he was 2 days prior. So there's just so many wonderful milestones, and watching them learn and grow and achieve is just amazing. It still is.
Yeah, and it will be until forever. They're always learning something. You mentioned that both pregnancies were very different. So, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I was actually a much older first-time mom. So I had Christian when I was 40. My first. And so at 40, I felt like I was more worldly and educated. I mean, I had been in the military for 10 years, lived in foreign countries. I had a corporate job and had a decent income and felt like I kind of had my stuff together. And so I had 6 different apps on my phone. I bought all the books. I educated myself on how all of this was going to go and I was going to be the best new mom ever, and went to all the classes for birthing and pregnancy and motherhood. And I was a CrossFitter at the time, so I was super fit. I had Christian. I was 40 plus 10, so I was like way overdue. And I was going to be induced. And even that morning before I was induced, I went and did a CrossFit workout. Like I was just all about just all the things. And when I got to the hospital and was induced and was going through labor, it was so intense. Like I wanted to try to do it natural if I could, but I also knew that I didn't want to be in a ton of pain, and I have a history of back injuries. So the second the back labor started, I was like, "Oh, yep, I'll take that epidural. I'm not gonna deal with that." But when it came, it was go time. I just started shivering, so like compulsively shivering, and I thought something was wrong. And it's not. That's actually really normal and pretty common. Because it's just the adrenaline and everything in your body. And I felt like I was just freezing cold and nobody told me about it. So it was really intense. And because I was so strong and I worked out so much, I pushed that baby out so quick and I tore myself. And then I tried to go back to exercise too soon. And so it was just the first one was just intense. And so because I was an older first-time mom and we knew we wanted a sibling, we got going on number two right away. It took 8 months to get pregnant, and then we had a miscarriage, and then I ended up going through some fertility stuff to get pregnant. And by then I was 42 going on 43, and I was a high-risk pregnancy. And so I tried everything to be as calm and take care of my mental health more than my physical health, and just like take it in a more relaxed fashion and not be so intense about everything. And meanwhile, I'm trying to grow this business that I had, this invention I created. I had no idea how to take this idea and turn it into a real product. I've got a toddler. I'm in a high-risk pregnancy. And so I just tried to stay calm and be calm. And I went into my delivery in the same way. And so because I was 43 with the second baby, I was induced like a week earlier, 10 days early, just to make sure everything was good. And it was such a peaceful, calm, quiet. I got the epidural right away. They gave me a big peanut pillow to put between my legs, and they told me I was ready. And I just relaxed into it, and out he came. Like,
Like right away.
just the most peaceful thing ever. Yep, right away. Like, I maybe
Wow.
had two contractions where I like pushed. But I didn't, it wasn't, the first pregnancy, it was definitely like as seen on TV, just like screaming. And the second one, I was kind of laying on my side and I was just like, okay, I think he's coming. And out he came. And
Wow,
it turns out both,
why do you
huh?
think it was so different the second time?
I mean, one, I knew kind of what to expect a little bit, more so it wasn't as terrifying. But the first time I was just so intense myself, wanting to make sure I learned everything and did everything perfectly to make sure I grew the most healthy baby I possibly could. And the second one, I took it easy a little bit and just gave myself grace. And I just concentrated on being calm as I could, because, with a high-risk pregnancy, added stress is not going to help anything. And so I think that just carried over. And it's funny because when you look at the two kids, the one is very intense and the other one's very calm. So I kind of wonder if like
Wow.
mom's attitude and energy during the pregnancy actually like transfers to the baby as they're growing inside you. I don't know.
Yeah, it might. Wow. So your mindset was just different, and that translated to the pregnancy being just so different. Wow. I can't believe you did a CrossFit workout that morning.
I can't believe I did
Oh my gosh, I can't even do that now when I'm not pregnant.
either. Yeah. Well, I was one of the people who drank the Kool-Aid back in the day when CrossFit was like a almost cultish type thing. I was definitely all in on the whole CrossFit everything.
Yeah, everybody was doing that, but what was the most surprising part of pregnancy or birth that no one warned you about?
Well, definitely those shivers on the first child. Like, I did not know that was a possibility. I thought that meant something was terribly wrong because I was so cold and my whole body was just vibrating. That was definitely the most surprising for me. And for parenthood, it blows my mind how smart they are, how much they learn and pick up without us even realizing it. It's just every day. And since they were babies, it just blows my mind.
Yeah, they're sponges and just absorb everything they see, hear.
Everything.
Yeah. What were some of the most memorable moments during your pregnancy?
The kicks. I miss the kicks. I miss the moving. I miss feeling that little life inside of me. Every once in a while, I'll wake up with gas in the morning, and the gas bubbles will move through my belly, and I'll be like, "Oh, like little baby flutters. I miss that so much." And then I have a big toot, and off it goes.
Yeah, it's a whole different type of connection when they're in there and kicking and you can feel it. What has been your biggest, I have no idea what I'm doing moment so far?
I mean, today or
I guess in general, the
yeah,
biggest one.
in general, the biggest one that I learned from is dental health. I always thought, and this was the mistake I made with my first baby, and I still beat myself up about it, is I kind of assume baby teeth, they fall out. They're not like, I didn't take my firstborn to the dentist until he was like 3 and a half. Because I didn't know, like, we brushed his teeth and everything at home, but those teeth are all going to fall out anyway. Well, when we took him to the dentist, one of his teeth was completely rotted and needed to be pulled. Like, had we have taken him to regular dental appointments when his teeth first started coming in, we would have probably caught the cavity and filled it before it turned into a completely rotten tooth. So he had to have a tooth completely pulled. Now his molar at 8 years old is finally growing in, but he had a bridge in there. And I just was like, what am I doing? Am I even qualified to be a mom? How did I not know to take him to the dentist?
That's an easy mistake. I feel like a lot of mothers probably do that. So, at what age do you recommend that a baby starts going to the dentist?
I mean, I can't make the recommendation. I'm not a dentist, but what I was told is they have teeth, take them to the dentist. And most dentists, three and under, will see your child for free. They don't even charge you. It's just a matter of getting them used to coming in and sitting in the chair and have somebody looking in their mouth. Because there's not much they really do at that point except look for potential cavities and stuff. And Christian had a number of ear infections when he was a baby that led to him getting his tonsils and adenoids taken out and ear tubes put in when he was just two. He had been on so many antibiotics for all these ear infections that I learned that being a lot of antibiotics as a baby can actually affect the tooth development in the gums. So his teeth are naturally actually not as strong because of all the antibiotics. So now we know that we have to watch his dental health more because his actual teeth didn't develop as well because of the amount of antibiotics he had as a baby.
Wow, is that
Crazy,
a
huh? I would have
is
never thought of that.
I've never heard that. So is that a long-term thing, or they're just sensitive right now, and then when his new teeth come in, they'll be strong, or is it always going to be sensitive?
No idea. No idea. I just was beating myself up, feeling like a really bad mom because I didn't take him in earlier, and they just let me know that it's okay. And I think he'll be fine going forward. They didn't really say if it's gonna like affect everything. And he hasn't really had antibiotics since that time, so I'm hopeful that it'll be fine.
Yeah, and it's not about being a bad mom. Those are the mistakes that make you a mom. That's part of it. You're gonna make mistakes. That's just part of the journey. Did you receive any advice from friends, family, or healthcare workers that really stuck out with you?
You know, the healthcare workers I struggled with because when I was pregnant with my second, I was over 40, and they made a point of telling me every single appointment that I was with each month of my pregnancy and each month beyond 40, I was at risk of stillbirth, which I found to be really not helpful because I'm trying to maintain a calm demeanor and they bring me these charts and they show me. It's like, I can't change my age. I understand. Thank you for informing me that that's a potential thing, but they don't need to inform me every single time I go in. So that's probably the opposite of the answer you're looking for that question, but that one really just jumps out at me. I think it's really just take time when you're feeling overwhelmed, because they're overwhelmed. As long as they are safe, they are fed, and when they were a baby, my son was a little colicky. If he was safe in his crib, I could take 5 minutes and go outside and calm myself down because it was so stressful with him crying and I couldn't help him. And it's okay to let them cry for a little bit to take care of your own mental health and your own energy, because you can't be a good mom if you're also matching their energy. So as long as you can put them in a safe place like the crib, where they're not, at risk of hurting themselves or anything, it's okay to let them cry for a little bit to take care of yourself.
At the end of the day, you come first. If you aren't doing well, then your baby's not doing well. So you have to always put yourself first.
And at the time I thought I need to always hold him. I always need to, if he's crying, I need to solve his problem. And then I would get so much anxiety and stress when I couldn't. And so that was the advice I got, was to like, it's okay to just let him cry for 5 or 10 minutes. If you need to go cry for 10 minutes, or you need to go just catch your breath and reset.
Speaking of advice, final question. What advice would you give to mothers and fathers listening right now?
Gosh, I'm not qualified to answer that question. I would say kind of what we just talked about. I think as a mom and as a perfectionist and wanting to always do everything right and not screw this up, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And when things go wrong, or when the kids inevitably have some sort of tantrum or fit, because that's just what they do at various stages in life, not putting the blame on yourself and just understand they are going through something. And if I spend my energy beating myself up about why I can't fix their problem or solve their tantrum. I'm not helping them. I'm not recognizing that I can just keep my energy calm and I can just acknowledge what they're feeling. And I've been doing this lately because we're going through another phase in life of just sitting with them and saying, gosh, I know that must really hurt. I know this is really frustrating. And the response I get now is much different than when I used to try to fix it or try to dismiss it as, you don't need to cry about that. That's not something you need to cry about. Now it's like, oh, I understand. Like, you're sad. This is really sad for you. And then it like solves the problem so much faster. And I don't have to put any of that on me. Him being sad because I set a boundary and he crossed it or doesn't like it, that's me being a good parent. And then acknowledging and giving him just credit, like, I understand that makes you sad. And giving him that validation makes me feel like I'm a better parent because I'm not only setting a boundary and teaching a standard, I'm also letting him know he's important and his feelings matter.
Yeah, empathy and validation go a long way. Yeah, trying to fix their problem, they're like, listen, I'm crying. I don't need that right now. I just need to understand how I feel and relate to me in some way.
I wish I would have figured that out so much sooner in life.
Well, they're still young. You figured it out.
Yeah.
Some parents never figure that out. So
Yeah.
that's cool that you
That's
did.
true. That's true. That's true.
That's all we have for today. Beth, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. It was a pleasure talking to you. It's fun reliving and thinking back on these times. If you listeners are in the moments that are so hard, it's so hard sometimes when they're little. And now that mine are, they wipe their own butts. They can get dressed by themselves. It's gotten so much easier. And I look back and wish I would have, I wish I would have known some of these things I know now. It's fun revisiting those times, though, and thinking about them when they were so little.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Baby Steps by Oxford and Soho Baby. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.
You've been listening to Baby Steps, sponsored by Oxford and Soho Baby. If you're in the market for a new crib, glider, dresser, or more, we'd love for you to check out our line of furniture. Head over to oxfordbabyandkids.com or sohobaby.com. All links are within the show notes. For more information as a listener, enter the code PODCAST10 for 10% off your total purchase, plus free shipping on all orders over $799. Thanks for listening and tune into our next episode. Bye for now, and remember, every step is a step towards progress. We hope today's story gives you the confidence and the assurance that every journey is different, but we do it together.